This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775 in Naramata. Now is your chance to gift someone you love something everyone loves. Valentine gift packs like Cupid's Crush, Forever Smitten, Tinder Trio, Bouquet of Rosé, and Aurora Adorialis. All the details at Bench1775.com. This is Tasty Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. It's Super Bowl weekend. Initially, I thought maybe we'll just do a list of 30 or 40 wines to drink on Super Bowl weekend. And then I thought, no, let's do something esoteric. Let's do something that brings the entire country together. But I couldn't do that. What I did do was come up with a plan to talk to Jay and Dan, Jay Onrate, Dan O'Toole from TSN Radio and Television, and their own podcasts. They're funny. They know the sport. And they can talk food, wine, music, personal hygiene, things that are really important to all of us. So Jay Onrate, Dan O'Toole, will start the show. But we're going to finish with an idea that I had about wineries that are just on the cusp, just getting started, and very much worth our time to keep an eye on. This one is called Kutatás. Is a Hungarian word for research, inquisition, exploration, or quest. The winemakers and owners are Mira Tuz and Daniel Dragert. Daniel I met while making the wines at Avril Creek. But when I tasted their wines at Rich Massey's Locals Only on Granville Island at Edible Canada last year, I just went, this is fantastic. Holy cow, where did this come from? So I decided to do an interview with them. They needed a place. They needed a place to make their wines, to grow the fruit, and then make their wines. And that place turned out to be one of my favorite places, Salt Spring Island. There was a winery there called Mistaken Identity. And they bought it, Mira and Daniel, and they've turned it into Kutatás. And if everything goes according to plan, their plan, they're going to be making some great wines. And if they can't grow it on Salt Spring, they'll find their fruit somewhere else. But boy, are they good winemakers. So those are the last two segments of the show. The first two segments are going to be, because it's Super Bowl weekend, we're going to be talking to, this is a traditional thing with me, we're going to be talking to Jay Onrate and Dan O'Toole from the Jay and Dan Show on TSN. They'll talk personal hygiene. They'll talk about where they came from and where they're going and why they got thrown out of the United States of America. So, Jay Onrate, Dan O'Toole, start this edition of Tasting Room Radio Super Bowl weekend. Final score, 28-21, Los Angeles. Thank you. God, I hope you can. I hope you still have it, okay? That's all I say.
Some days it's debatable, but we'll do our best.
Thank you. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. And this is a sort of semi-annual, no, not even semi-annual. It's occasionally when I can find them and I get my game together, I can find Jay Onrate and Dan O'Toole, Jay and Dan at TSN, to talk about all things Super Bowl, because, you know, it's Super Bowl weekend. I know it's the day before, but everybody's prepping. Jay, are you there?
Yes, I certainly am, TDM. It's great to talk to you.
Dan?
I'm sitting here with Jay.
Jesus. How harsh is that? Okay, I just because I'm sure there are some people out there thinking, oh, he's got voice actors doing this. It's not really Jay and Dan. So I'd just ask a couple of questions if I could here. It's all right with you. Jay, are you from Athabasca?
Yes, I'm from Athabasca, Alberta, a small town north of Edmonton, where the buses would always run unless it was minus 40.
Okay. You are the author of Anchor Boy, True Tales from the World of Sportscasting?
That's right. I've written two books, and neither of them were either ever really good, but they sold a lot of copies.
They got a lot of promo. Number two was More Short Tales from a Very Tall Man. Is that it?
That's correct. Yes, you've done your research.
Well, let me go one step further. Ryerson? Was it Ryerson?
Yes, I went to Ryerson. I'm even on the Wall of Fame now. My understanding is they keep trying to pry the plaque off, but it's stuck there like super glue.
I think I met you at a big breakfast in Winnipeg or somewhere like that, or Calgary.
You were a guest on the Big Breakfast Winnipeg, and you were very gracious and kind. And I was nervous to interview you, to be quite honest, and still am nervous to be interviewed by you.
I can hear that in your voice, Toolsy. You and I, hooked up. I'm sure it was a CKVU or CFON somewhere in Vancouver. I didn't know about the Fort Mac connections and CTV Edmonton and the Oil Barons. Tell me, when was that?
That would have been, I lived in Fort McMurray from 1999 to 2001. I went up there. That was my first really big job. I did play-by-play for the Oil Barons, and then when I was up there, I went to the guy at the local cable station, Shaw Cable, and I said, I'd love to do some TV. He said, you shoot something, I'll put it on the air. So that's what I did, and then sent a tape off to CKVU, which became City TV in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And a man by the name of George Froelich,
yep,
said, get 1 year's experience and we'll hire you. He called me a year to the day, hired me. And that's what brought me to Vancouver and then eventually TSN.
And we need to know this for the historical record. Who put you together and where?
A man by the name of Mark Milliere. Blake Price used to work with Darren Detition on the 10 o'clock show. He had to move to Vancouver for family reasons. And that opened up a spot on that show. So they moved Jennifer Hedger with Darren Detition. And So Jay had to go from working with Jennifer Hedger to me, and we still work together. I'm sure he's very happy about it.
I'm still very bitter about that, Terry.
Why?
Well,
why are you bitter? I don't understand.
Yeah, I kind of thought it was obvious. Have you seen her? I mean, I kind of thought it was obvious.
Okay, fine. This is Super Bowl weekend. Have you given it some thought?
Well, we kind of have to. I would say this. It's amazing to me that we're surprised in any capacity that the Patriots are back in this thing. This machine never turns off. As long as they have Brady and Belichick, they seem to be just rolling along. And either they're in the Super Bowl or they're winning Super Bowls. So it's hard to bet against them. Even though I'm going to take the Rams.
Are you taking the Rams?
Yeah, I really like their team. I like Sean McVay. I think he's a good coach. He just turned 33 years old last week. It's incredible. Terry, what were you doing at 33? I know what I was doing. I was working with Dan O'Toole.
Were you?
I wasn't coaching a professional football team in Los Angeles.
Wow. Where was I at 33? I have no idea. I don't even remember that.
All this, you were hanging out with Crosby and Stills. Nash was back in England on a Hollies reunion, and you were ripping it up in Austin, Texas with Tom Cochran. It was an incredible year for you.
No, I was in Africa with Tom, but that's a different story, totally different story. That turned out to be Life as a Highway. Okay, so Toolsy, are you taking New England?
Yeah, because I'm smart, and you never bet against New England. The only thing that troubles me, so I like to gamble a little, and it's a high total for a Super Bowl. The over-under is 56.5. Yeah. And, Terry, as we all know, when you take the under, you're cheering for no joy in life.
Yeah.
So I'm taking the over as well as the Pats.
How's your record on Super Bowl picks, by the way?
It's pretty good. I won last year. I think the over hit last year. The over hits regularly in the Super Bowl.
We should mention that Dan doesn't usually pick the team that's going to win. He just plays the over-unders because he just likes lots of, you know, scoring, which is actually a pretty good philosophy when it comes to gambling. If you're going to gamble on sports, betting the over is the most fun that you can have.
That's right. You're cheering for points. You're cheering for...
Oh, let's not get caught up in this, please. Let's go on to other things. Like, for example, Jay and Dan, TSN. Here we go. A couple of things. It's at in Atlanta, right?
Yes, correct. Yes, the brand new Mercedes-Benz Stadium opens like a crazy sort of Star Trek ship.
Okay, so it begs the question, do either of you own a Mercedes-Benz?
No.
No Bens here. Still Canadian TV, Terry. We're both driving 1986 Pontiac Sunfire GTs.
With the top down. Do you have you been to Atlanta, either one of you?
I've been in the airport on the way to Talladega, on the way to a NASCAR race, but I have never stepped foot outside the Atlanta airport.
Have either one of you played football?
No, they didn't have. I was in such a small town, Terry. They didn't have a football team in my school. It was either hockey or curling, or football. It was one of those three.
Have either one of you been a cheerleader?
No, my school also didn't have football.
Okay.
Cheerleader, though, I feel like we could have succeeded at that.
Hey,
no?
Can we talk just for a second? We talk about halftime. What the hell has happened? Who's playing halftime, and do we
Maroon
care?
Maroon 5.
All right, okay.
And then Travis Scott, I believe, is supporting them. And I think multiple acts turn this down.
Lots.
Sort of in support of Colin Kaepernick, who's still... continues to not have an NFL job despite being a better quarterback than probably 60% of the current quarterbacks in the NFL.
Okay, are people going to stay? Are they going to? Do you think they'll abandon the stadium at half? What's going to happen at halftime? Do you think?
Oh, they always stay, Terry. They say they're not going to, and they always stay. They always watch the spectacle.
And let's admit, no matter what they do in the Super Bowl halftime show, they will never top Shania Twain.
Hmm.
Going by dog sled to the stage at the Grey Cup 2 years
ago. Yeah, man. I remember that. I fell off the couch.
She looked good.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775 in Naramata. Now is your chance to gift someone you love something everyone loves. Valentine gift packs like Cupid's Crush, Forever Smitten, Tinder Trio, Bouquet of Rosé, and Aurora Adorialis. All the details at bench1775.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. The Hatch is a tasting emporium. The Hatch is also the culmination of dreams had by a group of eccentric grapophiles who have lived and learned the way of the vine for countless years. You're invited to come by, try some wine, or just hang. Check it all out at thehatchwines.com. Jay Onright, Dan O'Toole. Dan Gerard O'Toole. They are the heart and soul of TSN. They stash them at midnight. And your mornings literally should be all about Jay and Dan. Jay Onright, Dan O'Toole, Toolsy, are on the phone. And it's a Super Bowl weekend. And we have this thing where I drag them through hell just to fill some airtime. And they fill it up with stuff about four down football and the cars that they drive. And the swill that they drink. For example, Toolsy, are you drinking Coors Light still for the game?
Yeah, I got to take it easy because we work tomorrow night after the Super Bowl. So I'll probably have a Caesar to start the festivities, and then a Coors Light, and then some Tim Hortons steep tea. That's quite a combo. Those that's a
and,
free drinks. Yeah, should have every day.
Okay, Jay, what are you imbibing?
Well, I know you're a wine guy, Terry. I'll probably have a glass or two or three before I come into work. I like to think it makes me a better broadcaster. And I usually, on a day-to-day basis, enjoy a Portuguese table wine called Castillo de Montserrat. You can find it at your BC liquor stores for an extremely reasonable price. I can't recommend it highly enough.
Wait a minute.
What are you drinking these days, Terry? What's you got to recommend a wine to us?
I am currently imbibing a Robert Mondavi Cab Franc, which absolutely rolls my socks up and down, because he's all about the Mondavi is all about Cabernet Sauvignon. Like literally, they own the franchise. But this is a Cab Franc from, and I drink a lot of Cab Franc from British Columbia and from Ontario. And we're good. Our Canada loves Cab Franc in terms of the soil, but this is huge. This is ginormous. It's a bomb in my mouth, and I like it a lot.
Oh yeah.
How's our Prince Edward County wine stacking up these days?
I love Prince Edward County. I absolutely love Prince Edward County. And I love the soil there. I love the people who are there. And they are a very attractive region to me. I watch, if it says Prince Edward County on the label, I want to know who made it. And I want to know about the winery. I just can't get back there enough. I really, really like Prince Edward County.
It's a place that I know Dan and I have thought of moving to together someday. Not in the same house, but, you know, in separate homes. Or maybe the same house like the Monkees, where they all had bunk beds.
It's it's the home of Norm Hardy. That's where I'd start. I'd start at Huff Estate and Norm Hardy, okay? All right, so
I have a recommendation from there. Grange of Prince Edward County Vineyards. They have a Gamay. Phenomenal.
Wonderful. A Gamay. I love a Gamay. Thank you for doing that. I'm writing that down. Okay, so we got the swill out of the way. What are we doing? Have we got the food out of the way? We got that out of the way. Are you doing ketchup chips?
I've got a bag of ketchup chips ready to roll. I also make Super Bowl chili and then bring it into work, and then Jay brings everything to go along with the
That's
chili.
That's fantastic. I love chili. I'm going to be having chili Sunday. What do you put on top?
We like chopped onions. We like a very, very, very sharp cheddar. And I found a creamery in Kensington Market. They make homemade cream cheeses, and they actually make a homemade sour cream, Terry, that you could literally plaster your walls with. It's so thick, and it's so delicious. You could eat it by the spoonful. We plop that on there. It's yummy.
Boys, are you doing any medical marijuana these days?
Yeah, I don't know how to answer that, Terry. We're still employed by Bell.
Okay, fine. Can we get to the podcast for a second, the Jay and Dan podcast, which I hear is the greatest thing since sliced cheese. How's it going?
It's always going great because we put less than no effort into it, Terry. We really feel like that's the secret to podcasting success.
And this week, we recap my trip that I took last weekend to the new hotspot of North America. Are you ready for it?
What's that?
Detroit.
Oh, nice. Windsor.
Yeah. So you can hear all about that on the JDAM podcast.
It's Windsor South. Okay. By the way, did you know, I wonder if you do, that the jandan.com is for sale?
Yeah, I think we have it. We're still working on it. But we've got jandan.ca.
I was looking at the sale price. It's $2,895. That's a lot of dough for jandan.com.
Yeah, that guy's going to be stuck with that bad boy forever.
Yeah,
we aren't paying that.
No.
Does Jay and Dan Direct still exist?
It does. We put out a number of great shows, including a sitcom called Merca, yep, about Roger Federer's wife. If you get a chance, it's only $65 a month, Terry, and it's a nice compliment to Netflix.
Okay, I'm being had here. How about the Jannies? They're still going, right?
That's right. That's our nightly awards we give to great plays and not-so-great plays.
Okay. How about the Jay and Dan Liquid Bar thing?
Oh, the liquor hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a new thing. Well, because, Terry, one thing I really feel strongly about, I'm very upset about government-owned liquor stores in our country after coming back from the States. I just think it's like, it's so ridiculous.
It's stupid.
It's just so ridiculous. That's what I love about my home province of Alberta. They adopted the private ones, you know, 25 years ago. But
yeah.
I'm so frustrated with the LCBO out here that I just am imploring Doug Ford, our premier, who everyone really, really loves. I'm imploring him to finally privatize liquor stores. And at that point, Terry, Dan and I will finally realize our dream of owning a chain of liquor stores called Jay and Dan's Liquor Hole. Who wouldn't want to buy the Robert Mondavi, Pep Frank, Jay and Dan's Hole?
And the $1 beer that Ford promised. And that's what got him elected.
Okay. Can I go back to your education for just a second, Toolsy?
Sure.
This will be a short one.
did you get it? I made this note to myself. I can't believe it actually exists. You got a diploma in animal husbandry?
No. Radio broadcasting out of Algonquin College, prestigious, okay. Algonquin College in Ottawa.
Okay. Now, every once in a while on your show, Jay and Dan, Somebody says, I want a mulligan. Somebody always says, you know, I want it. But usually it's a golf thing, a reference or whatever. If you could, every time you get that on the broadcast, if I send you a shot of me as a Mountie, I'm wondering if you could just get it on the screen as a sort of a punchline because, you know, it's a mulligan.
I actually, if you send us that picture, Terry, I guarantee we will start doing that.
Very good. Let's get back to this game, this Super Bowl game tomorrow, boys. What's the score going to be, Dan?
Well, like I said, I'm taking the over, and the over is 56.5. So I'm going to say Patriots win 40-37.
Wow. Good Lord. Okay, Jay?
So the over is 56.5. I want Dan to win his bet, but I want the Rams to win. So I'm going to say the Rams win 30-27. He just hits that over. I want him to sweat it out a little bit.
Okay. Is this a big money bet?
Yeah, it's not little.
Okay. It's always big with Dan.
I know that. And boys, is this your first or second Super Bowl after leaving Los Angeles?
This is our second.
Okay. And did you, was it a different experience being here as opposed to being there for you?
Yeah, because our last Super Bowl with Fox, we were at the Super Bowl in Houston. So a huge difference. We did a live show every single day. So it was a tremendous experience here. We're in studio, but we still get to do a show after the Super Bowl. So
we're on CTV after the Super Bowl, Terry. They're actually not throwing us throwing The Good Doctor or Big Bang Theory. They're actually showing our show after the Super Bowl, which is a huge thing.
That's
so
fantastic.
Tomorrow night,
all right,
if you're watching the Super Bowl on CTV, just keep it locked on, and you'll see at some point Terry David Mulligan in a Mountie outfit.
Thank you, boys. And I guess finally, what's 2019? What will be the highlight for you, do you think, this year?
It's a great question. I'm excited to see another music shout-out. I'm going to go see R. Kells. They're on a national tour.
Yes, they are.
Great boys, and they're doing arenas now. They're our next big thing. So yep. I'm really proud of them, and so I'm going to go see them in February. I'm very excited.
Dan?
And I'm very excited to buy property in my new favorite spot, Detroit.
Okay. Have we got a Maroon 5 song we can agree on?
No.
Okay.
Hey, Terry, before you let us go, Just to go with that chili comment I made earlier, make sure that you put the two biggest ingredients that people don't usually put in, cumin and cooked bacon.
Oh, like barbecued bacon kind of thing?
Well, just however you cook bacon. Make sure you make it nice and crispy, though. Don't put raw bacon in the chili.
And put some pop to it. Like, get some spices in there, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's where the cumin comes in.
That's
cumin's
right. But there's some wicked cumins out there. Some wicked stuff. I'm very proud of you guys for doing your own research and coming through for me for almost 26 minutes. I appreciate it very much.
It's a pleasure on our part. Dude, can I request one more tune?
Sure you can.
Well, I just finished, if I could make a book recommendation, Jeff Tweedy, the lead singer and mastermind behind Wilco, just wrote a book called Let's Go So We Can Get Back. I can't recommend it enough, Terry. I think you'd love it.
You know, he has a solo album out there as well.
Excellent. Warm. I love it.
Okay. And how about you, Dan?
Play Houston by Dean Martin. I play Dean Martin in the kitchen while cooking every single day.
Dean Martin? Dean freaking Martin?
Yeah, baby.
Okay. Thank you, boys.
Thank you, Terry.
Thanks, Terry.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. The Hatch is a tasting emporium. The Hatch is also the culmination of dreams had by a group of eccentric grapophiles who have lived and learned the way of the vine for countless years. You're invited to come by, try some wine, or just hang. Check it all out at thehatchwines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. New releases from Unsworth. The 2015 Cuvée de Lille and a new dessert wine called Mistel, made from 100% estate Pinot Gris. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. This is part two of a story that I did in spring of 2018. Oh, If only we had spring. Spring of 2018, it was Rich Massey's Locals Only full contact wine tasting on Granville Island at Edible Canada, right? We're all in one room, way too many people in one room, but it was great fun. I finally found a tasting bar where I just didn't want to leave. I was in the corner and I wasn't leaving, which is bad form. You should move along. And it was Kutitas, the winery that I'd never heard of and people I frankly had only heard of and never met. Amir Tuz is winemaker and a partner, and Daniel Dreigert is winemaker and partner. And I have come to their new winery that is not open yet. It's in construction. It was Mistaken Identity on Salt Spring Island. It's now Kutitas, and they have finally come full circle to what they always wanted to do. The dream was to make their own wines in a very specific way, and that's why I've come to bother them during construction. What we're going to do is we're going to taste the whites. We're going to talk about them. Taste the reds. We're going to talk about them. And in general, what they hope for this winery, was this gorgeous winery on Salt Spring Island. There's a reason to be here. By the way, if you just want to get your bearings on Kutitas, it's almost across the street from Salt Spring Cider, Wild Cider, okay? Just in the general neighborhood, in the hood, so to speak. Mira, I need to know, if you told me this, I can't quite remember, how you got into the wine business, where you came from, where your family came from.
I began in the industry about 8 years ago. I have a microbiology background, and the lab's environment wasn't fulfilling, and I was happier to spend my days outside but still work within science. And I began with Unsworth Vineyards in Mill Bay and learning how to be a farmer, installing vineyards, driving tractors, and I was really taken by all the canopy management that they were doing and how that really can have a bearing on fruit quality and then therefore the wine that's produced. And the rest is history.
Are you doing exactly what you wanted to do?
We are, yes. It's not something I would have known 10 years was what I wanted to do with my life. But the balance of getting to create a wine and that we've grown the fruit ourselves and really have full creative control over creating a wine with layers and complexity. Yes, this is what we want to do.
One more question, I'm going to follow that up, and that is there's something about actually having your name on a bottle, or this is your wine, this is your statement, this is what you believe wine to be. Have you been thinking about that?
It's actually a quality that sometimes we would like to try to separate more, the brand from who we are, but at this point the wines we're producing are an embodiment of all of our work and energy and effort. And it is quite personal, the amount of care we put into it. So at this point, they are one and the same, but I imagine there will be occasional wines that'll be nice to have that separation and understand this is what came of that fruit, and it's not always an expression of ourselves.
Daniel, how did you get started?
I had a science background in university, and I had no idea what I wanted to use it for. And I took my last arts credit to graduate was Intro to Wine Science, and I just sort of fell in love with the idea of grapes and wine, and took a graduate program in New Zealand at Lincoln University in Oenology and Viticulture, and came back to Canada and started in the industry and just sort of fell in love with it. That's how it sort of all started. I sort of stumbled into it.
And you've been making wine for other people, including Avril Creek?
Yeah, I was at Avril Creek pretty much since 2008. Quite a bit of experience here on the island, and I grew up in Victoria. I think I know the potential of what can grow here if the seasons are favorable.
We're at Kutatash, Salt Spring Island. Mira Tews and Daniel Dreigert. What's already planted here, Mira?
On the Salt Spring property that we've just recently purchased, there's Pinot Gris, Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Zweigelt, and Ortega, and a range of Germanic varietals that may not have a long life with us.
Do you want to explain, Dan, Kutatash? Because you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to do this 100,000 times.
Kutatash is a Hungarian term, and we were trying to think of something that would really sort of represent Mira and myself. And we both have some Hungarian roots, grandparents that were Hungarian. And the term itself means research or experimentation or the quest. And all of those terms sort of relate to what we're doing with our wine making style, and we can sort of look back on that term and say, is this really what we want to do? We don't want to be making wines just because that's what the world wants us to make. We want to make wines because that's what the wines that we want to make are the wines we want to make.
This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and I have found myself in the cellar room at Kutatash on Salt Spring Island, the first of many interviews we hope to do here. Simply because of that tasting that Rich Massey did with Locals Only, I've been thinking about their wines ever since. Now, it's really good when you taste a lot of wines, but some linger and stay with you. And that's why I wanted to do this follow-up. This is very cool. So, Mira, we tasted the whites. You started with the Pinot Gris. Tell me about that.
The Pinot Gris is all grown in central Saanich on Vancouver Island. And we try to produce it in a style similar to Chardonnays in New Zealand that are trending at this time. It's pressed and goes straight to barrel, and it ferments naturally in French oak barrels with lots of stirring to build body, so you get a nice creamy finish as well as fresh fruit characters.
A creamy Pinot Gris, my friends. Are people screaming for a different Pinot Gris in British Columbia?
I think so. I think a lot of the Pinot Gris are maybe a bit over the top in flavor. In the Okanagan, they can certainly get quite ripe. The way that the island Pinot Gris shows itself is more like a Chardonnay. It's a bit leaner, and I think we just wanted to display the texture of the wine, the texture of the Pinot Gris, as opposed to in-your-face fruit flavor.
Okay. I love this Pinot Gris. I love this. It's $25, by the way. Is it being poured in Vancouver?
It is. It's by the glass at the Shangri-La Hotel, as well as Wildebeest.
Two of the coolest spots, right? And then you poured me in the Ortega. I said there were properties in it that reminded me, like if it were blind tasting, I would think it might have come from Alsace. I think it, although it's not old, it's older, and there's some properties to it. Tell me about this Ortega.
The Ortega is a Germanic style grape variety that grows quite well on the coastal climate. It has really floral properties on the nose. We produce ours carbonic macerated, which gives it a unique flavor profile with almost an oily texture. We also do about a third barrel ferment to build a little bit more body.
You're getting your grapes from Vancouver Island, but where specifically?
It's a site on West Saanich Road, just north of the Victoria Airport, just north of Patricia Bay, which is kind of known as an area called Deep Cove. And it's really quite a bit warmer than anywhere south. So it's up on the Saanich Peninsula, on the west side of the Saanich Peninsula. And it's really blocked by some mountains, yeah, all around it. And so we're able to, even though we can see the ocean from that site, we don't have any real ocean influence. So we're a few degrees warmer than the Victoria Airport.
All right. We're at Kutatash, Salt Spring Island. Mira Tews and Daniel Dreigert have given up their lives and their friends to come here and start this winery. And do what they promised they wanted to do. Was actually, you can get your grapes from almost anybody that you can do a partnership with and that you like, but to actually have your own grapes and to grow them and to nurture them and everything that is in the bottle is hand done, that's the way to go. For example, we might even have a bit of a confrontation here about the 2015 Rosé Pinot Noir. You poured the rosé at that locals, and I loved it. And I told my wife, Meg, I said, well, I found a rosé that you're going to like. And then, well, anyway, what happened with the rosé?
2017 Pinot Noir. We 180 degree shift from the style that we had in 2015. We had it only, that's the 2015, we had on the skins for 4 days, and we were sort of, it's not that we were intending to, but we were sort of bucking the trend of these lighter rosé styles at the time, and we made something at the other end of the spectrum, really heavy, and we didn't really know how it would turn out, but we wanted to find out. 2017 is 6 hours on the skins, and it's far different wine style. Yeah, completely 180 from the 15. You know, it'll be interesting to see how it turns out. That's
what it's it'll be interesting to see our reaction. Mira, what do you think? What's your thinking here?
They're two very different wines made for potentially two very different consumers. The 2015 on the spectrum of a white to a red rosé into a red wine is quite far along the spectrum towards red wine in terms of flavor profile and texture and tannin. Whereas our 2017 rosé with only 6 hours on the skins might be more preferential for the lighter seekers out there, but still has depth, a smooth finish, and hints of cranberry and strawberry.
I've heard the Ortega described as nothing more than a patio sipper, right? Yours is not a patio sipper. What would you pair with it in terms of food?
A range of cuisines from Indian to Thai. Often spicy foods are harder to find a good food pairing wine, but the oily texture of this Ortega, as well as with the acidity and floral qualities, make it stand up to even a salad with a vinaigrette that often can make a wine seem flat, and we still get nice intensity even with salad pairing.
I think the real neat thing about the Ortega is just that subtle oily texture in the finish, and I think that leaves a lot open in the way of pairing that other wine styles wouldn't. And I mean, the spicy food thing's huge with that.
What about smoky barbecued ribs? It works for Riesling. I'm just thinking about that oily texture.
It's powerful enough to probably stand up to it. It's quite a intense wine, both on the nose and on the palate. I'll try it at the next barbecue, I guess.
Okay, let's do this on the whites then. The Pinot Gris is 25, correct me if I'm wrong. The Ortega is 25. The Rosé is 25. Are they in the market now? Or can we find them?
Yes, the Ortega is a new release for us, so it's just going to be... You probably still might see the 2015 around. 2017 will probably be more common in the new year. As far as the Rosé, the 17 hasn't been released yet. It's going to be released in the spring. The 2015 is still available and is the perfect winter drinking wine if you can find it.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break here with Mira Tuz and Daniel Dragert at Kutatash on Salt Spring, and we're going to try the reds, and I'll be right back. This is Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. The restaurant at Unsworth Vineyards has begun year four of a community-supported restaurant membership, which includes 5 3-course dinners and 10 2-course lunches or a combination of both until April the 19th, 2019. Find all the details at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13, the winner of 15 National Wine Awards for the Wine Align 2018 competition, and now officially Canada's Winery of the Year. Road 13, it's all about the dirt. The winery is Kutatash, K-U-T-A-T-A-S, Kutatash. And I'm talking with Daniel Dragert, the winemaker and partner, and Mira Tuz, winemaker partner, and this is their dream come true. They have taken over and purchased Mistaken Identity on Salt Spring Island. It's on the road into town, and you can't miss it. You see that slope, and you wish that slope well, and we're tasting our way through the whites and now the reds, and we have two Pinots here. By the way, the clone is 114. Yes, for those of you who want to know, it's 114. and they're quite different, although they're the same grape from the same vineyard?
Yeah, exactly the same harvest date, exactly the same vineyard. The block is pretty small. It's only a hectare, so essentially it's the same fruit. We made two different wine styles from the same fruit. We initially were doing it for envisioning this as one single blend, and we had a number of different ferments on the go, and one of them was a whole cluster ferment. And that whole cluster ferment evolved to be something quite special and unique, and we actually had a hard time trying to create the one wine that we envisioned. And the whole cluster stood on its own, and we decided to keep it as a single wine.
Dan, please, for the new wine fan, define whole cluster.
Good, yeah, I probably should do that. The whole cluster fermenting wine means that we leave all the berries on the stem. So the grapes go in whole cluster, whole bunch, into the fermenter, as opposed to a traditional, more what we're used to, traditional red wine is the grapes are taken off the stems are discarded, and the red wine's made without the stems. This wine is made with the stems on, and so you have a whole new influence on the wine style. So long as the grapes are ripe enough and the stems are lignified, that really adds to the wine and probably adds to the longevity of the wine.
And 2016 was a great year.
It was a fantastic year. It was one of the best years I've seen on the island since I've been here, and since 2008. I mean, 2009 was a great year, but 2016 was a really early year, and I think everyone was picked pretty much by the very beginning of October.
Mira, did you have to be convinced?
My feet were in on all those. I was in on it. So we were pretty excited to be able to display this whole cluster fermentation style versus the destemmed from fruit that began at the same place.
So the same Pinot Noir, same clone, 114, thank you, Patricia Bay, North Saanich, just the fruit, not the stems. What are the initial response and differences between the two?
You end up with the de-stemmed version appears quite a bit more full.
Darker.
It's darker, likely because the ferment got a little bit hotter with that. The stems seem to keep the ferment temperature down, so you're not getting the same extract as you would with a de-stemmed variety. It seems to be more full-bodied. It seems to be more what people would think of when they're tasting Pinot, when they're tasting sort of along the lines of what you'd expect from Sonoma or Oregon Pinot Noir. The wines on Vancouver Island and on the islands tend to hold their acidity, so we can get quite good color extraction, and in great years, they tend to be pretty full-bodied.
Vancouver Island, as you know, each area has to have a hook of some kind to get people's attention. This is who we are, this is what we do. New Zealand led the way by saying, we are Sauv Blanc. Time and time again, we're told that Pinot Noir has a home on Vancouver Island and the Gulf Islands. But who's Pinot Noir and what kind of Pinot Noir? And can it, that's the question, can it become the Pinot Noir destination that they want to be?
Certainly when we got into the project, we thought actually it was more sparkling wine had a home on Vancouver Island. However, when we took over the lease in North Saanich on the vineyard that we leased there, we stepped into probably three or four of the better vintages of the decade. And it's hard to force, you know, if you're picking your for sparkling wine in early September, is it really the place for sparkling wine? And certainly in some vintages, we'd probably celebrate sparkling wine. However, in the better vintages, we're able to let these Pinot Noirs hang well into October. With that hang time, we're able to get some real depth and complexity in the wine. So
I was just looking for a yes or no.
Okay, So, yeah, I think that certainly Vancouver Island and the island's Pinot Noir has a place.
How about Mira?
Island and Gulf Island Pinot has a very distinct quality that we can blind taste island pinots across the board from different producers and identify it compared to an Okanagan or a New Zealand or an Oregon pinot. So it does. There are some really unique qualities that come through out of island pinot.
What are they?
It's the fruit. Recently, tasting some Fraser Valley pinots from the same vintage, they were more earthy, good in their own way, great, actually great wines. However, what we have here is just the ability to be quite a bit more fruit forward in an intense way that, you know, sort of mimics the coastal regions, New Zealand, Oregon, Sonoma, that are so sought after. So yes, like if we start warming up here a bit or continue the trend, then we're going to be able to make some wines that are similar to those sought after regions, and so why not try?
I just want to let the audience know that that the destemmed is $30, Pinot Noir from Kutatas, and the destemmed is $35. And yes, you have finally found a wine that's worth the chase right here. I want to ask Mira about 2019. You're going to have tasting room wines poured specifically here, but there will be sparkling. There will be bubble in your future.
There is bubble in our future. Daniel and I started Kutatas Wines in 2015, and we have traditional sparkling wines in the queue since 2015. Still sealed, non-disgorged at this point, but based on the couple of bottles we have opened, it's looking like it will be a zero dosage sparkling.
When do you want to open?
Our date is Valentine's Day. It'll give us an excuse not to go out together, I guess, but
we can order in.
Yeah, sure. We're trying for that, and we'll probably be open weekends from sort of February, mid-February on till May.
I meant to ask you about food pairings with your pinots.
Because they are actually quite rich and supple and a little bit heavier than you're normally used to for Pinot Noir, they can be a little bit more versatile. And with the island pinots having the acid to drive them as well, you've got the choice of pairing it with sort of lighter fare, which is lighter meat, which is generally what people think of pinot. Hey, we'll pair it with turkey or chicken or whatever you want. But these pinots certainly would stand up to heavier, richer, richer meat, so steak and lamb.
What about you, exactly. Terry? What do you think?
Pizza, pasta. That's the kind of red that I want with those. I don't want to bang myself over the head. I want to be able to taste the flavors, etc.
And they do have a lot of extracts, but they also have a lot of body. So
lamb.
Lamb is fantastic. Is. We've had lamb with this. It's great.
Okay, let's just go over this one more time. Mira, tell me about what's coming that we can watch from Kutatas. What comes first, the rosé, and when do we see it?
The 2017 rosé, which is that lighter style in contrast to the 2015, which was heavy and rich, it will be available in the Vancouver markets in early 2019, so transitioning from the heavy to the lighter style rosé. We'll have a blanc de noir, which is Pinot Noir that we press off the skins. So it's made as a white wine, which is also barrel fermented and full-bodied and creamy, but made from red grapes. And it should be released in the early spring as well.
Yeah, price points for those?
They're both $25 a bottle as well.
I like the Blanc Noir. How much did you make?
There's 125 cases of the Blanc de Noir.
You guys are going to be busy.
We're going to be busy with a lot of winter projects, including tasting room construction, website development, and pruning our vineyards. But we're really excited for project to evolve and be really established here on Salt Spring and be a part of the community.
There is a reason to come to Salt Spring. Well, there are many reasons to come to Salt Spring. First of all, just a Saturday market, barbs, buns.
Twig and Buoy, the best pizza out there.
Twig and Buoy. Yeah, it's a you haven't been there yet.
No. Is that the wood-fired?
Yeah, out in the north end, yeah. Just off the Fernwood Dock there. There's Twig and Buoy Pizza Place.
Wow.
Fantastic, fantastic pizza. They cook everything over Arbutus.
Wow.
Which they only get when people are forced to cut their arbutus trees down, so they're kind of...
You have to be conscious of that.
They're not just chopping down all the endangered trees.
We'll see if they'll do a special pizza night with vine wood instead of arbutus.
Yeah, we have some vine wood that we'll share with them.
So there is a reason to come here. There truly is, any time of the year, but basically when that sun comes up. And the reason is, well, there's three reasons. Miritu's, Daniel Dreigert, Coup d'Etat. They are on the road into a town, and you'll see the vineyard as you come off that ferry. You'll see it. You'll also see Salt Spring Wild Cider, Coup d'Etat, K-U-T-A-T-A-S. Go to the website. We'll give you links as best we can and some photos as well so you can see what they look like. This is Tasting Room Radio. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry, for having me.
Thank you.
I'm Terry David Mulligan, Tasting Room Radio.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13, the winner of 15 National Wine Awards for the Wine Align 2018 competition, and now officially Canada's Winery of the Year. Road 13, it's all about the dirt.